Thanks for joining us for today's Word of Hope from First Christian Church in Burlington, Iowa. In this broadcast, you will hear songs and hymns of praise, a children's moment from our youth pastor, Justin Livingston, the pastoral prayer for the day from our associate pastor, Brooke Anthony, and a message from me, senior pastor, Dave Yonker, that I hope will fill your spirit and give you hope. You are always welcome to join us for worship in our sanctuary on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10 a.m. and in our parking lot for our drive-in service at 11:30 a.m. here at 1221 Park Avenue in Burlington. For more information, check us out at burlingtondoc.org. You are invited to grow in faith and share God's love through First Christian Church in Burlington.
We're so glad that you are here worshiping with us. To our faithful few who are gathered here in person, well done getting here safely. We're so glad you're here. We're also so thankful for those who are worshiping with us online, whether you have found us through our church Facebook page or our church website. We welcome you into worship with us as well today. As we have gathered for worship, a few things to note. If it is your first time joining us, we invite you to stop by the Welcome Center on your way out. We do have a gift just to thank you for being here and share a little bit about the church, so please stop by there on your way out today. There is a tear-off sheet on your bulletin, and I invite you to tear that off now, fill that out. It helps us not only keep attendance, but you are welcome to fill any joys, prayer concerns, any news that you would like to let us know. It really helps us to stay kind of up to date and keep you in our prayers. And then if you're joining us online, please feel free to send us an email with any of that same information. Anything that we can pray with you over or anything like that, just drop us an email. We would love to be in contact with you. If you're here in person, we hope that you picked up an all-in-one communion kit on your way into the sanctuary as we do gather around the Lord's table each and every time we worship. If you're worshiping with us online, we hope that you have gathered some items that you might be able to celebrate communion with us. Bread and juice or grapes and crackers, whatever you have at home would be just fine as we gather for communion together. Looking ahead to what is happening in the life of our church, this affects more our first service, but just to let you know, next week is our accompanist Julie Kirk's last Sunday. And we are so sad about that because she adds so much wonderful music to our traditional service each and every week. She will soon in the next coming months and year be retiring and moving out of state to be with family in her retirement years. And so we're very happy for her, but it will be, you know, sad for our church and a loss for us. So next week there will be a reception following our traditional service if you'd like to gather with us and celebrate and give thanks for Julie's ministry here. After a nice break, our children and youth ministries are still taking a little bit of a break. Both Crosstown High and M&M are still on hiatus. M&M will be back on Wednesday, January 19th, and our Crosstown High will actually be back on January 16th with a lock-in. So if you would like more information about that lock-in, please feel free to reach out to Pastor Dave or read in our church caller, our newsletter. For more information, again, that is the 16th of January, and we hope that our middle and high school students would join us for that. On another note, this week we were saddened to learn that Jim Moyner passed away last Sunday evening, and so his services will be held here at First Christian Church on Friday, January 14th. So not this coming week, but the week after. We will be keeping his family in our prayers, including his wife, Darlene, and so we invite you to keep them in your prayers as well. Let us stand and greet those who are worshiping around. Please feel free to wave to this camera over my shoulder to our friends online.
So wonderful,
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son has opened for us a new and living way into your presence. Give us pure hearts and steadfast wills to worship you in spirit and in truth through the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you to please be seated, and as we do so, I invite the children to come forward with a children's moment with Garrett Anthony.
And good morning to you four and to you, however many there are, and to everybody else out there in internet land. I've got a question for you. Are you ready for a pop quiz? No? You know, school's coming back tomorrow, so I figure you need to be ready for a pop quiz. Here we go. Here's pop quiz. Can anybody tell me, not you two, what is John 3:16? Do you have any idea? No? Head shake. Any for you? Yeah? Yeah, maybe. Well, let me tell you, if you don't know, it's one of the most widely recognized, easily recognizable, and quoted scripture verses that we have. So popular that most people, even people who don't maybe go to church or read their Bibles, have probably either heard of it or can tell you what it is because it's so popular. I'm going to tell you what it is now. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And I'm going to tell you what the most two important words are in there. And that is loved and gave. Now, I'm going to guess that most of you have either given or received a gift in the past few weeks. And hopefully that was given to you because of love. And you might think receiving a gift or giving a gift is not necessarily world-changing love or life-changing love. But I'm here to tell you that it is. I'm going to give you some examples why I know that. Have either of you ever been in trouble at home or school and been told you have to say you're sorry? Yeah. Yeah. Now, if you say you're sorry and don't do it with love, it looks like this. I do this thing, I say I'm sorry, and then I do it again tomorrow or within the next 5 minutes. But if you do it with love, you say, okay, I say I'm sorry, and then tomorrow I don't do it again because I remember what it feels like to have to say I'm sorry. I remember what it feels like to have done what I did that I needed to say I was sorry for. Saying sorry because you know why it mattered is doing it in love. Let's talk about giving and receiving gifts, because gifts are fun, though, right? That's example number two. If you give a gift to somebody and they don't want it or need it or might not enjoy it, it might be nice, it might be appreciated, but it's not done in love. But if you give a gift to somebody because you know they need it or because you know they want it or because you think they might enjoy it, because you've taken the time to think about it and care about them, that is done in love. And remember, I said the most important thing about that scripture that I said was God loved and God gave, right? The really good news about that is that God gave Jesus to us, to all of creation, out of love because God knew we needed it. God might not have thought we wanted it, but God knew we needed it. It might not be as exciting as a new bike or a new iPad, maybe not as flashy at first glance, but we need it. And God gives it to us willingly because we need it and because God wants us to love God and be with God. And Jesus helps us to do that. That is life-changing, world-changing, world-saving love in a nutshell. Let's pray for God, to God for that. It's kind of like a thank you note you're supposed to be writing. God, help us to see your love in all you do for us and help us to love others the way you taught us to love through Jesus. All God's kids shouted out. Amen. Now, we don't have anything going on children's church wise, so I want you to go back to your parents or wherever you're supposed to be, and we'll see you next time.
Jesus loves me, this I know. J-E-S-U-S. Oh, boy, the Bible tells me so. J-E-S-U-S. And he loves me here, he loves me there. He loves all of us everywhere. Jesus loves me, this I know.
Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, as we start our service today, as we start a brand new calendar year, we thank you for the gift of your Son that came to this earth to live and teach and preach and then eventually die for us. But as we do these things today, let us have our open hearts and open minds. Let us be with the family of Jim Moyner and his family this upcoming week, that they can find peace and comfort. As we continue through the rest of the service today, let us to grow our faith, share our love, and continue to learn more about you as we do these things today. As we remember that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he taught us this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Today's scripture today comes from John 3, verses 11 through 17. Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him.
I recently went to the store with my daughters, and when we were at the store, my daughter found something she liked. Now, I like to set the stage before we even go into any place that we have a list. We're not going off the list. We don't need anything extra. We're going to get what we came to get. Now, even though both my kids know that I'm not the type of mom who just buys them whatever they ask for, it doesn't stop them from trying. It's inevitable that every time we're in a store, someone will beg for something. On this particular trip, this daughter of mine begins to ask if she can get something. And after I remind her that we're sticking to our list, she ramps it up. But I love it, she says, but I need it. And I ask you, is anything from the Target dollar section really a need? Not usually. But on this day, this girl of mine tried to convince me that she needed this item, something she had multiples of at home, something she barely ever used, but she needed this one. This is an argument I think we can all identify with, because how many times have we managed to twist something around and convince ourselves we really need it? We as people have a lot of needs in life, and we have a lot of wants as well. Sometimes those can overlap a little bit, I need clothing to protect my body, care for it, but I want that really expensive jacket I saw in the window. Never mind that it costs way too much, probably won't wear it much, but I really want it. Or we need food to give ourselves nutrition and fuel and continue living and thriving, but I want ice cream. And no matter how much I try to convince myself or you that ice cream is very nutritious, you know, dairy is a very important food group, I can't. There's no way I can really convince myself that that's an actual need. It isn't. We need shelter from the elements. We need a roof over our head, but we may want the latest and greatest, most updated house with quartz countertops and the most in color of paint on the walls. We have a lot of wants and needs that sometimes go hand in hand, but there's definitely a difference. But there's one want in life that is most definitely a need as well. And that need is the need for love. Love is a true need for all human beings. A psychologist named Abraham Maslow studied human behavior, and he created this chart, what he called the hierarchy of needs. It ranks the kinds of needs that we as human beings have, universal needs. Now, it's a little bit hard to read because it's tiny print, but looking at the bottom, the biggest and widest, breathing, food, water, we have to have those needs met before we even move on to the next level. You might be able to see that love is the third one up, kind of right in the middle there, a fairly large piece of the hierarchy. After studying humanity, this scientist concluded that we truly need love to develop and to grow as people. We need love, and we want it too. We all just want to be loved, don't we? We spend a lot of our time thinking about it and looking for it, even if we don't realize it. When you log into your social media account, the first thing you usually do is you look for notifications or messages. Did someone like what I posted? Did someone take the time to send me a message or comment on my post? Knowing that we were significant enough for someone to comment, it makes us feel good. And even if we don't realize it, think about how it feels when you don't get a single comment or like on something you posted. It makes us wonder. Our minds start to race. Didn't anyone think I looked nice in that picture? Did I offend someone with what I posted? Don't people like it? Don't people like me? Our mind creates this whole worry because social media affects our brains. A like on social media actually affects our brains the same way a real in-person hug affects us. I read an article that explained that social media interactions produce dopamine, a brain chemical that is linked to pleasure and rewards. And so when we log into Facebook or Instagram or wherever, we're looking to feel good. We're looking to feel loved and appreciated, a reminder that we're important. We're looking for reassurance. Or what about finding a mate? Many of us spend at least some of our lives looking for the one, often turning to matchmakers or online dating to provide a pool of people to consider, and we're hoping that just one of those people will turn out to be right for us and that we will create a relationship that has love and appreciation and value. And once we have a relationship and we're in love, we feel really good with reminders of someone's feelings for us. It feels good when we receive expressions of love from our spouse or our parents, from our siblings, from our brothers and sisters, even our pets. It feels good at the end of a long day when your dog or cat climbs into your lap to snuggle. It seems that no matter where we look, no matter how much time we devote to finding love, sometimes it seems elusive. It seems hard to find, just outside our reach. Why is love so hard to find? Why do we sometimes feel lonely or hopeless or depressed or unloved when love is clearly something that is so central to who we are as human beings? It's a necessity for healthy life. Well, I think love is hard for us to find and hold on to because we make it complicated, when really love is simple. Now, before you start to argue in your mind with me, I said it was simple, not easy. And contrary to what Google says, I think those two words are very different. Simple means straightforward and uncomplicated, but easy means without effort or not difficult. And I wouldn't say that love doesn't take effort. I think it can take work and effort, but I don't think that love has to be complicated. But our human nature is to complicate things, isn't it? How many times have you completed a project or a task and you realized at the end that there was a far simpler, easier way to do it? If you had just read those instructions, you may not have sat there trying endless different directions for the piece of that furniture you were trying to build when maybe the real piece was actually behind you and you didn't even see it. Or take cooking. When I cook, I follow recipes. I follow steps and guidance, which means I use every measuring spoon, every measuring cup, every bowl in the whole kitchen. But Garrett, my husband, cooks with more of an innate sense of how things go. He puts a little bit of this and a little bit of that. He uses far less dishes and creates wonderful food that way. But we have a tendency to complicate things, don't we? We make things harder than they need to be. We add extra steps. We worry. We often make more work for ourselves. So when something in front of us is simple, is so simple and so uncomplicated, it's almost as if we have an urge to reach in and meddle with it and make it harder. Like love, we feel the need to complicate it. Imagine a new relationship, especially when you're younger, like in high school. Now, I say this because I'd like to imagine that adults who are dating have moved past this silliness. I'm not really sure, but I would hope so. Well, we've all heard of people who play hard to get when they are beginning a new relationship. There are silly rules that someone somewhere created about how much interest you should show someone. Because for some reason, apparently, you shouldn't show them how you feel. Don't call too quickly or they'll know that you like them. Don't ask them on a date, wait for them to ask you. Act aloof toward them when really you just want to talk to them. We make it so complicated and we add things by playing these games. We don't communicate our feelings. We make everything 100 times harder. Our nature is to complicate things, and I think we do this with God's love as well. God's love for us is incredibly simple. It's not unimportant, it's not insignificant, but it's simple. It's not complicated. He loves us so much that he gave us his only son. Not only gave him to us to be a model of a good life lived here on earth, but gave him to humanity as a sacrifice for our forgiveness. He gave us his son, his child, to take on our burdens, our sin, our challenges, take them upon himself and to bear the consequences so that we wouldn't have to. That's it. But we feel this need to complicate it. Now, this issue of feeling the need to add and make things more difficult is not new, and we see that in our scripture reading this morning. We see that people have always had a tendency to make things more difficult. We look back to Jesus' time and we read in John chapter 3, it said, "Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended first from heaven, the Son of Man." So let's figure out what is going on here. Let's unpack that. Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus has been a bit bold to presume that he and his community, they understand Jesus. They know a lot of knowledge about him. They get Jesus. But soon Nicodemus is confused because Jesus is discussing being born of the Spirit, and he doesn't know what that means. Jesus points out that they don't understand what's going on. In that passage that I just read, Jesus says that him and his community of the early disciples, he said, "We're testifying to things we have seen and experienced ourselves, and you don't get it. If you don't understand what we have personally witnessed, how are you going to understand when we speak of things about heaven?" He said, "No one has been to heaven except the one who first came down." In other words, Jesus himself. So if no one on earth has ever been to heaven to observe these things, how will they hear and believe the teachings of heavenly things? Jesus goes on to teach that the Son of Man will have to be lifted up in order that these who believe in him will have eternal life. And he means a couple of different things here. Physically, he's referring to Jesus being lifted up on the cross. But in this act, he's also exalted. He is raised up spiritually. So Jesus' final act of exaltation of God's Son actually comes through the physical act of his crucifixion. And then he goes into that verse, that is so well known. It frequently shows up as the most known verse in the Bible. John 3:16 is actually Jesus himself speaking, explaining that the simple truth of God's love for us. He took away any complication, any extra information or elaboration, and he says simply, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." The Son of Man, he's saying, referring to himself, came to the world to save it. That's it. Plain and simple. That is God's love, simply. And we want to argue with that. We want to complicate it because that's what we do. We want to say, "I don't deserve to be forgiven. Surely he doesn't mean me. I'm not worthy of it." Which is true. You aren't, I'm not, none of us are worthy of it. We read in Romans chapter 2, verses 23 through 25, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood effective through faith." It is by the grace of God that we are forgiven of our sins, and we are made fit to stand in his presence. So the argument of us being unworthy, it doesn't hold up. There's no need to complicate or add to this message. We are to take this gift as it is. So then why John 3:16? Why did this scripture, of all the scriptures, why did this one become a hallmark of our faith? Why is it the most searched Bible verse year after year in online Bible searches? Why do we see John 3:16 on signs at ball games and on athletes? There are even companies that print John 3:16 on the bottom of shopping bags or fast food drink cups. Why? Why has this one verse become the spokesperson of our faith? Because quite simply, it gets directly at the point of our faith, and it does it clearly and directly. Because the cornerstone of our faith is that God loves us so much he gave up his Son. If someone were to ask any of us about our faith, we may be tempted to go into detail, to give some history about our faith, or to talk about the commandments and the guidance that we follow from God. And while all that does further expand on our faith, it's not really needed. Plain and simple, when asked about our faith, this is all we have to say. God loved the world so much that he gave his Son so that all would live in community with him. That's all someone needs to hear to know that this faith is life-changing. And so that's why this verse took on a life of its own. The earliest uses of John 3:16 at sporting events came back in the 70s, when a group of Christians wanted to somehow lead people to Christ, and the best, simplest way they could think of was just to hold up this scripture. This simple verse would direct people to find a Bible and read this passage. If they wanted to get the message of Christ out there, this verse summed up the Christian faith. Tim Tebow expressed that it's the essence of Christianity, it's the essence of hope. And so it's for that reason that he felt God led him to put this scripture under his eyes on a game back in 2009. And he later revealed that during that game, 94 million people Googled John 3:16. 94 million. And whether all of those people were truly interested in learning more, or even half of those people were interested in learning more, that's all it took to point the way to scripture. Teaching or reminding literally millions of people how much God loves them with one simple word and a few numbers. It provoked curiosity, and it used his fame to shine light and give honor back to God. It took just this one simple verse. God loves us. Plain and simple. Well, as that old song goes, we are often looking for love in all the wrong places. We're looking for love in people and in pets and dating. We are looking for validation from so many different sources that sometimes turn out to be the wrong places. And while we spend time looking in the wrong places, love was here all along. From the earliest story, we read that God created the earth and the animals, the seas and the sun and the stars, and God created us. And God saw that it was good. God saw that we were good. God's love was there from the moment of our inception, and it's been there in our own life since it began. And we all have different faith stories. Maybe we have known about God's love and aren't really sure it's for us for a long time before we finally decide. Maybe we've heard about it, but we've avoided it. Maybe we made it more complicated, God's love. We struggled to accept it as a gift. Or maybe you've known it your whole life and embraced it and lived fully in that love. It never hurts for us to go back to basics and remind ourselves of the simple beauty of the love that sent to this earth in the form of a tiny baby. That's all we need to believe in, to have a faith that is simple, yet stunningly strong, a faith in the Creator of the universe. For God so loved the world that God gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but will have eternal life. Amen.